As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
So, to be honest, did you really think like that music was good, Zuri?
Well, you know, you take some L's in life, and you keep marching forward. And
but do we have to take one every week, though? Welcome to To Be Honest. I'm your host, D'Angelo Williams, where we don't give a damn what you think or feel about what we say. Bringing in fantasy expert and all the other titles you want to give them, Jake Seeley. Jake, welcome to the show, big dog.
Why are you sighing when you say that? But yeah, ready to get into today. I think there's going to be more excitement, at least for the rest of it, because we're going to be talking about Le'Veon Bell, Cam Newton, the Giants, and yes, what happened with that game. The best worst teams and the worst best teams. But before we even get into that, you wanted to talk about, somebody tweeted you about the video game story again, and I guess that's good for everybody out there to know. I mean, that's kind of how we met, or that actually is
that
how
it
we
is.
Met. So yeah. do you want me to set it up and then you explain?
Yeah, go ahead. You set it up.
So I was following D'Angelo Williams before you were following me, and you one night tweeted about the new Call of Duty game, and you said you were getting ready to play it if anybody was out there who wanted to play with you, but they had to be people who haven't played. And I tweeted at you because I just happened to see it and said, I've never played. I'm pretty sure it was the first Black Ops. And I said, I haven't played Call of Duty in a few years. I'll go to the store right now. Cause I'm like, dude, I'm already following D'Angelo Williams. I get to play a video game with D'Angelo Williams. And you said, hey, you know, fine. I'll be ready to roll. I ran up the street to the GameStop, got it, came back, and a few minutes later, we all hopped on. We didn't even get a game played because of the two other people couldn't get a good connection going, and we never played. And we never played an entire game. We were supposed to have our squad together. It was your idea to go against Derek Carr and his squad, and we never played. I'm like, man, D'Angelo Williams owes me $50 for that game because we never even played.
True. Here's what you did know. So Derek Carr team is really good. They've been playing for a very long time. So I had an opportunity to sit in and speculate and watch them play, and I knew we had no shot.
So you gave up.
I tried to fall back. I was like, you know what? We're going to go back and we're going to play. Our schedules never worked out from that point on because you had a job, I didn't, and like you was working when I was able to play, and then when the kids came home, it was just, that's what happened. Like, we just wasn't good enough at the time. Can I get payments? I'll pay you $50 back. Can I do it in installments?
Sure, you could do it in installments. Yeah, I had the deli at that time, and you're like, hey, I can play at 11:45 in the morning. I'm like, come on, man, I can't do it at this time.
Yeah, that's what I know, right? But you know, we're definitely gonna get that game in though. Whenever you ready, you still got it, or did you take it back?
Oh, I took it back years ago.
Black Ops.
We'll get the new one. We'll get the re-release of Modern Warfare. But that's not.
Let's do it.
That's not why people are listening to us anyway. So let's talk actual football and actual sports here. So, hey, this is something close ties to you here. Talk about Le'Veon Bell. Yes. Because he was tweeting over the weekend after the Jets game. And in this quick version, if everybody wants to go look at the tweets, but the quick version was He was saying, haters, enjoy it now. Don't give up on this team. There's still plenty here. We're going to wear it as a badge of honor. We're going to give everything we can. We love you and we appreciate your support. We need your support. Where are you on this? Like, would you ever do that when you were playing? And then is this just trying to make the best of a bad situation? Like, what was your takeaway when you saw this?
Okay, so when I saw this, the first thing I said was, Le'Veon, you're not in Pittsburgh anymore. In Pittsburgh, that right there is something that you say, because Ben Roethlisberger has never had a record that was worse than 8-8 as it relates to him running the helm for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So this right here, this message would have been ideal for the Pittsburgh area and for that franchise. With the Jets, he reaching. He reaching big time with the Jets. Like, I don't recall ever a time in my 36 years where I was like, man, the Jets are good. Like, even when they had Curtis Martin, I was like, he's a good back. Didn't like the way that he dressed and how he carried himself on the field, because, I mean, he didn't have any flash, so to speak, in how he dressed himself, but he had flashed by the way he played. But even when they had him, like, I was just like, this team is okay. I was never like, hey, these players need to put out something and say, hey, you know, just hang in there with us. We're going to get back on track. I don't think players at all ever should do that, because it's a job. You know, some days, you know, you come in as a regular worker, not feeling up to par or feeling like you're all there. So, you know, we're creatures of habits. We're prone to make mistakes, and, you know, picking Sunday or Monday or whatever day you play to make those mistakes is a bad time. And right now the Jets is a really bad football team. Granted, they own their fourth to fifth quarterback. Even when Sam Darnold come back, it's going to take a while for that team to gel, because Le'Veon's running style is completely different from any other back in the National Football League. He's a patient runner, and training camp in 1 year is not going to allow that offensive line to just pick up those blocks that Le'Veon Bell demands. They're using him a lot out of the backfield and in the backfield as it relates to running the ball, but they got a lot of holes that they got to fill. So as far as Bell putting this out there, it's just giving them time to get better, and so, he gonna put a whole bunch of those messages out from week to week.
Well, so this is kind of like the Jalen Ramsey thing, where, you know, we sit here as fans and sit back and think, like, all right, well, Jalen Ramsey is not being a good teammate, and as you said last week, that whole we're family is a bunch of BS. So as fans, when we sit here and see this, there's a lot of fans that will be like, well, this is good because Le'Veon Bell's being a leader and Le'Veon Bell's stepping up when this team needs a leader to get things going. So is that BS too? Like, the teams don't need that? Like, is the locker room presence?
Let me make sure I'm just trying to make sure as a fan, because you give me the fan point of view and perspective. So if I post on my social media, hey, we're going to get better, we're going to do this, 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 and this, that makes me a leader?
No. I'm saying it makes it a leader as in you're trying to pick up the spirits of the rest of your teammates. So you're trying to be that. I guess it goes both ways. Are you also like, it's the same as if you're the leader of the guy who rips into somebody on your team that's making mistakes and needs to get their crap together and play better. Not obviously in social media, but both of those type of things. Like, this can't be, I guess that's the question, is this can't be seen as trying to step up and take the team under his wings, so to speak.
No, definitely not. That's just Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon spent so many years in Pittsburgh where it was more so required, because, you know, being average or just ahead of the curve wasn't acceptable. You had to be, you know, it was Super Bowl or bust. Literally, that was the mantra in the locker room for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And you got to understand who cultivated Le'Veon Bell, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. So he took that attitude. He took it to him with the Jets. The only problem is the Jets don't have the same pedigree background as the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah, it definitely matters where you are, because imagine being in Miami and players coming out saying that from week to week. Like, you just be like, okay, all right, we're tired of that. Come on, stop it.
That's certainly fair. All right, so let's continue with your opinion on comments being made. This time it's not by a player. It's about somebody about a player. Cam Newton now reports, as a side, that Cam Newton's apparently dealing with a Lisfranc injury. But for anybody that missed it, last week Paul Feinbaum came out, and on ESPN's Get Up, this is exactly what he said.
We're not watching the beginning of the end. It is the end. It's over for Cam Newton. I don't know why we are mincing words and trying to find a pretty way to put it. I think he's a train wreck right now. He can't do what he used to do. And quite frankly, forget the sympathy tour. Cam Newton has never really cared about anyone other than Cam Newton. And that doesn't mean he shouldn't be given the opportunity. But he's brought this franchise down. It's over for Cam Newton. Nice knowing you, but you're done.
I don't even have anything to say to you, but D'Angelo, what is your first response to that?
So my first response is, who the hell is Paul? Like, what is Paul's credentials as it relates to being a NFL quarterback? Not player. That's not what I'm talking about. Like, what is his familiarity with being a quarterback? Two, this is the thing about Cam Newton, and I've said this time in and time out. I said that Cam Newton is an average to good quarterback. I've never said he's a great. I've never, like, expressed anything different. I've always said that, and I'll never shy away from it. This is the thing. My parents used to tell me all the time, you can sell bad cooking if you keep it consistent. What he did do is he went out and he had a NFL MVP type season, and everybody held him up to that 1 year versus the other eight subpar average years. And now he has to live with that. So now everybody's like, hey, dude, you know, you got to return back to form. But the fact of the matter is he had one insane out of his mind year. And everybody's comparing him to that year. And he can't get back to it because they don't have the defense. There's other things that play a part in that. But that's what it is. And it pisses me off, too, because when you attack Cam in Carolina, then everybody get mad because they saying he has no help. But then if you attack the organization, they get pissed off and they turn it back on Cam. So you'll never be right in this situation. So it's crazy. So I don't know when the fans in Charlotte will understand that the fact of the matter is he's an average to good quarterback. He's had some good years. He's had a lot of not so good years. So that brought him down to average to good. And then now you're saying, oh, he can't play. Granted, he has an injury. He's fought through that. He's fought through, you know, the shoulder pain or whatever it is that he does. And as far as it relates to it, it makes sense now because I was going through social media yesterday and a lot of people was posting about Cam and what he does off the field as it relates to the him being selfish and all about Cam coming. But I'm pretty sure the guy was talking about him as it relates to on the field, not what he does off the field, because a lot of people listen to respond and not listen to understand.
And that's certainly fair.
That's so, my take on
it. And let me come at you with this, because this has always been my frustration with Cam Newton, the player. It's not on the field. It's the off the field has been my problem. Is that I come at it, and this is, I'm not speaking for all fans here, D'Angelo. This is just me to you. This is me to D'Angelo Williams. Is the frustration I always had with Cam Newton is the celebrations, the Superman, all that type of stuff. I go for it. I celebrate all you want. I love it. I love players having fun. But you can't, at the same time, be mopey, pouty, don't talk to anybody, clam up, shut up when you lose. Like, you can do both. Like, if you're Eli Manning and you don't do it and celebrate, and I'm not saying, like, Eli Manning is the best example. I'm just saying, if you're that type of guy that you're just always quiet, that's fine. He doesn't talk before, he doesn't talk after. Cam Newton was frustrating because he's, like, in your face, celebration, having fun, great, love it, exciting. But at the same time, when you're at the podium, when you're asked to say, you know, hey, what went wrong today, or what do you look as your improvement going forward, not to sit there pouty face and not say anything and get pissed off with people because they want to ask what went wrong. Like, you can't do both, in my opinion.
Well, you have to do both. You can. I don't understand how you could be a great winner and be a okay or a great loser.
You don't have to be great. Like, you just showed don't me be that a person sore right there, loser. And that's what I feel like. I feel like he's a sore loser.
I mean, that's the thing. If all great winners are sore losers, because you put just as much energy as being happy and celebrating a play and a win as you put in a loss as losing. You have the same energy.
But
like, you tell people you want them to be them all the time. Like, you can never be too high. You can never be too low. Like, that's Cam Newton. That's what you get when he plays for your organization. And if that's what the issue is you don't like what he does off the field, then wow, that's crazy. Because I heard Ryan Clark talking about this. So I think maybe Paul was the one that said it to Ron, and then Ron snapped and he was like, no, Eli Manning has been playing for a really long time at a very low level.
That's true.
and Cam has this, you know, this one bad year, but people have jumped on Cam, but they're okay with Eli because of what you saying. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't show any emotion. But I thought it was about wins and losses.
No, it is.
Like, if you're not a good football player, then you need to get your ass off the field.
Well, you know how I feel about that. Eli Manning should have been off the field years ago.
Right, but fans are okay with seeing Eli bring an organization down as long as he's quiet. But
no,
not okay
no,
with
not all
Cam
fans.
Having a bad
don't
year.
Don't put me in those fans, dude. Don't put me in that group.
Well, Jake. You okay with somebody doing something to you as long as they don't say anything about it? But if they say anything about it, then you have an issue.
No. So basically what
I'm just trying to make sure I understand.
Basically what I'm saying is if you're going to, like, so me, I'm sarcastic on Twitter. I also understand that's going to bring backlash. I'm going to have to take it. That's what my point with Cam Newton is. If you're going to give it, you got to take it. It's not just Cam Newton. It's everybody. Steph Curry kind of does the same thing in the NBA. Like, if you're going to dish it out, you have to take it on the chin sometimes.
Right. Well, when you take it on the chin, the way you react to it may not be what fans want to see. They want to see that you have tough skin. Other fans want to see that you can't take it because they want to see that you're human. Like, there's no win. When it comes to that, like, Eli Manning is still getting ripped apart. I mean, look at Daniel Jones. I mean.
Well, let's talk about them. That's a good transition then. So we were talking about Daniel Jones last week and rookie quarterbacks because there's a lot of youngsters and rookies stepping in last week. And the Giants this week got a win. Let's start with Daniel Jones.
Stop it. Stop
it. Okay, I guess we're not starting with Daniel Jones.
Stop it. Stop it. So you believe in Daniel Jones?
No.
You believe in Daniel
no.
Jones. You,
we're
you
not,
got
we're
one of those
on
Daniel Jones we trust being
no, no, we're going to agree on this one because I was laughing. It's funny you mentioned that. I was laughing yesterday watching NFL Network and ESPN and all the rest of the, you want to call them quote-unquote talking heads and like whatever. We're in the same business, but we're in a different aspect, I believe, you and me than in most of those. It's just laughing at how immediately reversed course everybody's doing. And like, they even play clips at the beginning of their show because that's what they're talking about. They're like, hey, let's look back 6 months and everybody's trashing Daniel Jones. We're on the same page. I feel like, D'Angelo, everybody's all of a sudden, oh, Daniel Jones. Yeah, definitely. It's not an overreaction to say he could be the future. It was one game against the Buccaneers defense and he still made poor throws and still had an interception that was dropped. D'Angelo, why are people reversing course so fast?
They're reversing course so fast is because they're tired of seeing Eli Manning like he has no expression. He's expressionless. He's literally I don't know. Is somebody controlling him? Like he looks like he's
robot?
Being controlled on a video game. He shows no emotion. And the only time he shows emotion, I guess somebody hit the A button or the C button or whatever button it is when he throws a pick and
which,
like he runs
which
to the sideline,
the shoulder
takes
shrug
his helmet off and just looks lost.
That he does all the time. Like I feel like that's a permanent one.
Yeah, like what is he shoulder shrugging? I'm shugging for. I mean, what
he's
is
always
that,
adjusting
what is
his
he
pads.
Doing?
I don't understand why. Like that's the problem. He does that little flip and backwards shoulder shrug thing. But no, here's what I said. Like man. I think you'll agree with this, D'Angelo. This is what I said going into the season, and the same thing's happening with the Dolphins situation. I said the reason Daniel Jones isn't under center from day one, the reason Josh Rosen isn't under center from day one, and the reason Dwayne Haskins isn't under center from day one is because you let the fans go through the misery of what's there right now. So when you bring in the next guy,
yes,
even if they're mediocre, at least they're not what was there.
Right. And it's not only that, too. Eli Manning is getting paid. Like, Eli Manning is the Porsche sitting in the garage, and Daniel Jones is the Camry. You just like, okay, I know this Camry going to get me where I need to go. I know that this Camry is good on gas.
At least it's working.
It's cheaper. But I've spent so much money on this Porsche, I'm going to push it out of the garage, I'm going to shine it up, and I'm going to let people see it. And when they come by and they be like, man, that's a nice car, man. You want to sell it? You say no. You push it back in the garage, and you drive your Camry.
You just don't let them look under the hood because the engine's missing.
Yeah, you're right. But they don't know that,
exactly.
Though. They don't know that, though. They see that car every day. And this is what's going on right now. They see that car every day, that Porsche that you push out, you shine up, and you make it look real good. They've never heard it. And somebody eventually going to come by to want to buy it. And you're going to say, no, you know what? I'm not going to sell it to you. Pushing it back in the garage. It's a collector's. It's a keeper. Like, this thing has won 2 Super Bowls. I'm going to keep it. You push it back in the garage. Well, then somebody come in and they make an offer for you that you just can't refuse. And you say, you know what? Give me a day. And you know what you do in that day? You go buy a cheap motor You fix that damn car and you push it out of, you drive it out of your garage and say, here, man, you take it. You take whatever draft picks you can get for it and you push them on. Them not knowing that the Camry is the real steal because it has so many miles on it from college. It works. It's efficient. The gas is cheap. The car is cheap. And it's going to be cheap for a long time until it break down. And then I'm going to have an issue.
You're going to go through this all again. All right. Well, then, so in that game.
Go through it all again. That's how it works.
In that game in general, we see this all the time. You watch this, a missed field goal. So did the Giants actually win this game did the Buccaneers lose it?
No, the Giants didn't win this game. Let's just be honest. Well, they did win it on paper. Let's just be honest. It was a mistake by a few people. It still bothers me that field goal kickers, and I get this from Gotti. I get it from, you know, Chris Boswell, you know, all the kickers that I've ever, you know, played with. I would always tell them, like, you're not a football player. You're on this team, but you're not a football player. Literally all you do is kick. And they would always say, you know, nobody's put in more pressure situations than us. I was like, you know what? I got a caveat to that. You guys will never understand how it feels to be on the field on an offensive possession and drive the ball and actually run and make a difference. And, you know, we would go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And, you know, to the point where, you know, you'd come in the locker room and, you know, I'm diving into my playbook because they just put in new plays. You know, everybody on offense is diving in their new plays. And the kicker's over there reading a freaking book Rich Dad, Poor Dad, or, you know, one of these other books. And they got a whole list of library books in their damn locker because literally they go to special teams meetings and that's it. Like, that's their
job. You know
job.
What my hashtag
so
is, right, D'Angelo? I sell T-shirts for the fantasy season. Hashtag ban kickers. I am.
Oh, dude, I need to get one of those
T-shirts. I'll send you one. You don't have to buy one. You know that. Come on.
I need to give me one of those T-shirts.
I'll just send you because you know what I say. You know what I say about kickers. You talk about what you were just saying. Guess what? The kickers aren't relevant unless the offense isn't doing their job. Because if the offense gets in the end zone and does their job, nobody cares about you.
I like that, and that's what it boiled down to. Tampa Bay has had a history of having bad kickers, and you'd think they'd learn from history, but you know they just doomed to keep repeating it themselves. So it's crazy that, you know, and before he kicked it, I was like, yeah, he's gonna miss this. Too much pressure.
Oh, I had the hashtag queued up.
And
I had it ready to roll as soon as it went by. I did it. Hashtag bam, ban kickers as soon as it happened. So can we talk about some good and bad teams so far? Maybe teams. I teased at the top the best, worst, and the worst best. It's funny. I always said this. You watch a lot of basketball. I always said Dirk Nowitzki was the best, worst basketball player ever. Like, if you watch him play, it's like he shouldn't be that good. He's the best, worst ever. So let's talk about.
I don't understand. Were you saying he was a worst player?
No.
Or was he a good player?
He's a good player. He's the best, worst player of all time. Like, you watch Dirk Nowitzki play and you watch him and you're like, it doesn't make sense. Like, what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like, he shouldn't be that good, but he's amazing. He's a Hall of Famer. That's what I was saying. He's the best worst.
Yeah,
so,
who is your worst basketball player
worst?
All the attention, all the fame, and he was just terrible?
I mean, doesn't have to. Ooh, that's a good one. I mean, at this point, I think Elton Brand, because I'm a Bulls fan, so that he always comes to mind. I always thought he just wasn't that good.
Really?
Yeah, and he
got to
play for
this hear me out on this one. Hear me out on this.
I mean, the easy one would be Greg Oden.
What's the objective of playing basketball? Is it to score points?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you want to go worse, and I'm going to get a lot of flack for this one, and I like him as a player. I didn't understand. Like, I understand what it is that he did on the court and what he brought to the table. But Dennis Rodman, I thought, was the worst basketball player to ever step on the court because all he literally did was rebound.
He had filled
no
his role.
Offense. But you just said, before I said his name, that in order to win basketball games.
As a team.
You had to score points.
As a team. But that's the thing.
Oh, now you want to hit me with the team.
No,
but
I
want to
change
Dennis
it because,
Rodman,
hold on.
As an overall basketball player,
you played football,
D'Angelo,
behind offensive linemen whose role wasn't to score points. They were to help you score points.
Right, but in basketball, it's completely different. It's five. You play offense and defense. On a football team, you got 11. The 11 play offense, and then another 11 play defense.
But do all five starters
defense. You don't go
average 20 points a game? No. You fill in a role.
Say it again?
I said, do all five starters average 20 points per game? There's not a single NBA team that has that.
Yeah. Well, I'm just letting you know, the worst hype basketball player, in my opinion, is Dennis Rodman, because all he brought to the table was rebounds. When you can have another guy in there and do rebounds and play defense.
Nah,
like
they won a championship.
Draymond Green is doing the same thing Dennis Rodman did, and everybody said Draymond Green is overrated.
Now, see, Draymond Green is filling his role. You can't have everybody scoring 30 points a night like Steph Curry. So that's good then. So then who's the most overrated undefeated team in football? Who's the worst undefeated team in football right now? Who's the Dennis Rodman of those 3-0 teams?
Yeah, the Dennis Rodman of the NFL right now, and I hate their fans because they're annoying as hell.
Oh, now I know where you're going.
And I'm so tired of hearing they're going to the championship year in, year out, that they got the Super Bowl.
I already told you they were a contender.
Can't win a damn playoff game. It's the Cowboys. It's the Dallas freaking Cowboys. You're not America's team anymore, okay? Stop it. Like, that's like the University of Miami calling themselves the U. Those years are gone, and you're far. You don't even – nobody remembers the U anymore. I mean, they remember it because, obviously, that's all they show on TV, on the History Channel and all. Like, the U doesn't even play on ESPN anymore. They play on ESPN The Ocho and, you know, you got to pull them up online. You got to get that package. But that's what the Cowboys are, in my opinion, is because they beat three teams. They're 3-0 right now. They beat three teams that were equally as terrible last year. And they just repeated this year. Yeah. So I want to see when they play on the 29th, when they play the New Orleans Saints, and they're going to play them without Drew Brees, and we'll see. That'll be our measuring stick. But in my opinion, I think the Dallas Cowboys – is the worst undefeated team right now in the National Football.
See, you know, first, I don't agree with that because, you know, I had them as a playoff team. And the second part is I can't say that when I have the Bills and the 49ers both sitting there at 3-0. Like, the 49ers, maybe.
You're being real, very disrespectful. You know that that's my squad.
I know
that's
your squad.
Very, very disrespectful. Okay?
You feel like that's a 3-0 team?
Yes.
Nah.
Yes, I know for a fact that they're a 3-0 team.
I can't buy into that, but especially the Bills. Like, I'm excited. I love Josh Allen for fantasy purposes, but I still can't. I can't see the Bills, similar to the Cowboys, continuing to roll the way they had. I mean, they barely squeaked out that game against the Bengals, which are arguably one of the worst teams in the league, which perfectly pairs into the next part. So then what's the best? What's the Dirk Nowitzki of the winless team? What's the best worst team?
Can we go back before we move on to that? Well, one? I got to go back to our best worst teams, the 49ers. I want to go back to the 49ers because you've been very disrespectful. I actually want to go back to the Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
So the Buffalo Bills, you know who their head coach is, right?
Yeah.
His background is all defense. So when he went there last year, 2 years ago, I think. Was it 2 years ago?
I think McDermott, was it 2 years ago? I think so.
Yeah, I think it was 2 years ago. So he had two bad years because he has no idea what the hell is going on offense. He is a defensive-minded coach. I remember when I was in Carolina, that's all he did. Literally, you'd say hi to him. He wanted to talk defense. Hey, man, you know, even concepts on offense. He'd be like, yeah, I saw y'all did this, 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 and this. Why did you swing out? Was you supposed to swing out? And I'm like, nah, I screwed that up. He was like, yeah, I figured you did. You supposed to win in the flat. And, you know, we had that cover had you went in the flat. And I was like, dude, I didn't go in the flat, though. I ran a swing. It was the same position, different look. But, you know, that's why I was able to score. Literally, that's all he's all about. So with that being said, he needed an offense or an offensive coordinator that could step up to the challenge and deliver. I always say this. They say that defense wins championships. You know, offense sells tickets or whatever that is. But I've never seen a game won 0-0. I've seen it tied. Never seen it won. So with that being said, the offense has to play just well enough to win football games. If you don't give out turnovers, we're going to play defense well enough to win football games. The San Francisco 49ers did it when they had Patrick Willis and Navarro and and all those guys. They did it with good defense and stellar play by Cap, not turning the ball over. That literally, that's the team that's going to arise in Buffalo eventually because of that defensive prowess
eventually.
That the coach has.
But to your point about the Cowboys, they squeaked by the Jets, they beat the Giants, and they squeaked by the Bengals. They get the Patriots this week. That's an L. Guaranteed. Done. L. It was fun.
I never said it was a guarantee, but I could tell you this, though. It wouldn't shock me if Tom Brady throw multiple picks because that defense is going to be on point.
I'll take the under. I'll take the one or less. We'll have to come back to that next
week. I'm taking two plus.
All right, we'll come back to it. All right, so let's get back to what I was trying to say. We want the Dirk Nowitzkis of the winless teams. Is it your boys? So, is it the Steelers?
I'm going with the Pittsburgh Steelers, man. And they've been dealt a big blow by losing Ben Roethlisberger, but Mason Randolph's the future. So if he's going to be the future, then we got to go ahead and we got to start him now. This is the question that I have, though, for the Pittsburgh Steelers is, what kind of surgery did Ben have?
Was it going to be Tommy John? I thought they were still working the details.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Have you, with that being said, how many pitchers or, you know, baseball, because that's a baseball injury. It's a quarterback injury, right. The way he throws the ball.
No, he's not having Tommy
John. How many
John.
Have come back?
Huh? He's not having it. That's what I thought. They scrapped that.
So he's not having it.
Yeah, they reported
but
that
it's
yesterday.
A Tommy John-like injury then, right? So how healthy is he going to be when he comes back? Like, I mean, are you just giving me hope?
So let me ask you this then. Looking at that game, did you watch the Steelers? I'm assuming you watched a decent amount of that Steelers game.
I did. Right? I watched it, yes.
Okay.
I watched them all.
So especially from your standpoint, you know more than I do. You played the game. Watching it as an analyst, as I have for years and years and years, that was a very stagnant, blah, poor offense in that game. Is that one of the ones of, you know what, we can't open the playbook too much for Mason Rudolph because this is his first start, or do you have concerns going forward that he was part of the problem?
Well, I don't have any concerns at all, and this is the reason why I don't have any concerns. As a rookie quarterback going into the National Football League, you can't open the playbook and give a quarterback options just yet because all those lines would be crossed. And if you have four plays in one play, you have none when it comes to a rookie quarterback because he's going to always default to what he likes and knows when it comes to, checking out of this or checking into that. I don't care what college you went to. I don't care what university, what your background is and how good your memory is. As a rookie, it is tough in the National Football League because everybody scheme against your inexperience. We know that you hadn't seen some of the looks that we're going to give you and how we can get into some other defensive schemes based on what we show you. I've said this plenty of times. So it doesn't matter whether it's Mason, whether it's the quarterback in Arizona, whether it's the quarterback in New York. All you got to do is get a little film on somebody and you can extort that to no end. And that's what's going on in Pittsburgh right now. We know you got the weapons that you need. You know, granted, you have, a couple injuries here and a couple injuries there. We know that your defense is not as good as it used to be. You're not the steel curtain. You know, you have a couple guys that are playing out of their mind, but as a defense as a whole, we can attack you. If we're able to put up points against your defense, we can outscore your offense. And that's what's going on right now in Pittsburgh.
If you hear my voice here, that means we've reached the end of our ride. But there's good news. You can listen to more of the show by subscribing to The Athletic at theathletic.com/tobehonest. That's theathletic.com/tobehonest. You'll be able to hear the full show in D'Angelo's most honest takes of the episode. Okay, now you know. Tune in next week, and we'll talk soon. Bye.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.